while every head is bowed. Lord, what you have brought to this place in Jesus' name. Lord, your grace, mercy, faithfulness over all the years. Lord, how you have kept us in the stuff. Oh, Lord, the winds of change have come and gone. Man's fancies that have faded. The fears, Lord, that seem to increase. Yet you, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, the rejoicing that we have to know that the prophets of the ages, they wrote these things for us. And that you in your mercy have brought that message to life and to light within these walls, God, all these years. Oh, I rejoice. Lord, to quicken my heart, Lord, to praise you more and to give you thanks, God, for your mercy. Lord, your love that reaches through all of the things and all of the indifference. But yet, Lord, if you have promised, I will perform that in the thing that I have sent it to. And Lord, you've done just that because your word performs it all. Lord, it is time. The time is now. God, because your son's appearing. Oh, what a time you are looking for to send your son. Oh, Father, that it would be all magnificent, God, when the tabernacle of God is with men. Oh, that oneness, Lord, that there's no need of a temple, for God and the Lamb are the temple of it. Oh, Lord, it's upon us. And Jesus, help us to take note that it is the time to awaken, the time to be alive. Oh, hallelujah. God, the prophecy, Lord, is apparent. Lord, the word of your grace, God, has been made manifest. And for these few more moments till you come, Lord, let us just rejoice and be fountains, Lord God, of the Holy Ghost, that love would abound and superabound, rivers of living water flowing out our bellies. Thank you for it, Father. Thank you for your Son. Thank you for Jesus. In his name. Oh, yeah. Amen. 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 He is more than wonderful. Praise God. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound or superabound to every good work. And as Paul sums up that precious little chapter, thanks be unto God, in the 15th verse, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable, his indescribable gift. All grace. All grace. Praise God. And we rejoiced last week that it's all about grace. Our whole Christian life, our whole Christian existence, the whole total spiritual wealth outcome of each and every one of our lives, all predicated upon one thing: how much grace will you see Jesus Christ, full of grace and truth, how much grace will you see, and how much grace will you embrace? Now, here we are assured we got all grace. I can't fathom that, but I live that. I live all grace. You live all grace. By the grace of God, let's apprehend all grace. Amen. Amen. Now, brothers and sisters, you'd say, well, my goodness, if we got all grace, it's just stacked in our favor. It's even beyond that. You're highly favored. And you're highly favored by God. I want you to think about that. You are highly favored by God. You're His son. All grace, son. Highly favored, son. Now, is it any wonder why that we wouldn't have this all grace? Because we happen to live. We've been so graced with the much the more grace that we live in the time of all grace for the reason because we are in the age of the glory of His grace. Yes. To be that glory for Him. As the word of the Lord said that if we'll suffer together with Him, that we might also be glorified together with Him. This is the age of His eternal glory. This is the age of His wife and the readiness of His wife. Who will be that glory to Him? That's why it takes all grace. Because we're vessels of all doubt. Amen. We're vessels of all truly deficiency in attention, quick to fear, and vessels full of these sensory things called feelings. And feelings often divert us into tangents away from all grace. The never-changing all grace. All grace. Never changes. Don't care what you were even doing last night. You should. But all grace is right there. All grace. But see, this is the reason, brothers and sisters, to be the glory for Him. That's what all grace does. It causes you to be changed from glory to glory. You're a glory to glory vessel. You're a glory vessel with one mark for the prize for the high calling. That mark is for that hand in marriage of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You talk about a vessel, a missile of love. Praise God for a mark. The glorious bride. The only way, all grace. All grace. Freely given. And He tells us that. Because He's got to remind you, yes, it's all grace. And by the way, it's freely given. Grace for grace. And more grace. Because we doubt. But I don't want to doubt His grace. So right there we know. Without a doubt, brothers and sisters, there are no limits to what grace can do. If grace truly will have this wretched man, and I'll stand right out and tell you, this wretched man, ruling and reigning jointly together with Jesus Christ for all eternities to come, praise God, there is nothing then that grace can't do. Nothing. Amen. So today, the simplicity of grace, let's live. And let's live the testimony of the all-sufficient grace. We are, praise God, the elect of God. The elect of God. And in that election, praise the Lord, God has graced us with Paul's gospel. And in that wonderful gospel, praise the Lord, we know grace. You do know grace. And if you've sat in here at any length of time, you know grace will have you in one place if you'll go after it. In the midst of the throne, ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ. And I know, without a doubt, by the grace of God, you know that message. That is not foreign. And by the grace of God, it's an absolute, because you don't doubt God. But the problem is we put us before God and we doubt me. And yet, what about me? Because I thought I died a long time ago and it's now Christ that lives in me. Highly favored. Now listen. Listen. Not just knowing grace, but believing in grace. Believing in grace. Believing and living grace. Grace that establishes me in the most set apart faith of believing in the grace of God. See, he gives you grace to have faith. It's by grace through faith to have faith right back into his grace. Because that grace has always got to be building. Because if that grace ain't building, you ain't growing. If that grace, hallelujah, isn't giving you the faith. And it will, but that's the whole point, is I need the grace to have the faith to believe the scriptures. Amen. And in believing the scriptures, I believe more in the grace of God. The grace that establishes, hallelujah, set apart faith. The grace that has me alive in grace. Are you alive in grace? That means aware of it, quickened, rejoicing, thankful, bold in my steps of grace. Praise God. My life by grace, not in word only, but in deed and in truth. I'm a grace vessel. Watch it happen. Watch it happen. Watch me fail, but watch me get back up because of the grace of God. I'm a grace of God vessel. Watch me as I trust God. In the power of his mighty grace, that I begin to change. That I'm not no dog that returns to his vomit. Because of the grace of God that is with me. Now you see, brothers and sisters, we can believe. We can believe the grace that will make the Lamb's wife. But will we allow grace? Will we allow grace to work it in us? Trusting grace. Confidence. Only in grace, and confident only in grace that will bring the changes. Confident in the grace of God that's going to bring every event and every trial of my life. That's going to do one thing, and I'm beginning to really see it, to humble me. We humble ourselves before the Lord, but it's because of the Lord's grace that brings us the trials that humble us. And why does he want us humble? Because he gives grace to the humble. He can't, you're not going to get grace from him when you're proud. You're going to be afar off. And I see people sitting in trials, such beautiful. Oh my goodness, they're more beautiful than any masterpiece that's ever been painted. Trials that God so divinely structured for their life to get them to this point. And here it is. I mean, he has put it on a platter. The beauty of humbleness. Feast on it, son. And yet you get right down to that point of right when that dinner, the main course of the humbleness trial is going to be served. And yet you get proud. That last bit, the greatest, most beautiful portion of that trial. And yet you don't take that last portion. God help us, amen. Oh Lord, I'm so broken. I'm so broken, I'm so broken. Do you see the eye that comes in there? Or I've broken, it's got me down to this point, but then you start pointing the finger and somehow you became the victim. By the grace of God, trust His word. By the grace of God, these are the greatest events of our lives, brothers and sisters, that make us humble, that He gives grace to that vessel. So all the events of life truly are to humble us, for one thing, to receive more grace, so that we would grow up fully into Him in all things. All things. And why? Because grace gives Him glory. That's why we're in this moment, in this age, this church age of the bride, all grace. He's given all grace for one thing, for His glory. See, without His grace, there is no glory. There isn't. Go back to John 1:14 where we started last week. How wonderful. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld what? His glory. His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father. And why? Because He's full of grace and truth. Glory just permeates from Him because He is grace and He is truth. Like Him. So what is this vessel going to be of if it's going to be like Him? It's going to be a vessel full of grace and truth. Amen. Brother prayed. Sister read scripture. She sang a song that truly He was made nothing for us. Lower the humility, full of grace and truth. Are these trials beginning to add up in your life? They weren't here to destroy you. They're here for you to make Him rich and you rich with Him. We're talking forever. Forever. And you know this. We're growing up. And we know this life's but a vapor. And we know things that we've put our confidence in, they change mighty quick. I put my confidence in uncertain riches. I'll tell you what, He'll take care of that. You're not going to be confident in that, honey. But then you're going to put your confidence in a man or a woman whose breath is in his nostril. And God's not going to let that be either. But see, you can either take that as defeat, that it defeated your life, and use it as an excuse, again, that I'm a victim. Or I can believe God that He was just trying to wake me up in His greatest, wondrous glory. Yeah. Honey, there's only one person you're ever going to put confidence in, and that's me. That's me. There's only one thing that's ever going to satisfy your life, and that's me. Because you are vessels prepared for unto glory, and you are vessels to the praise of His glory and grace. It's magnificent. It's magnificent. Brothers and sisters, His grace gives us the exceeding abundantly beyond all we ask or think life. Grace brings the incredible life. And I was sitting there and I was thinking, Lord, I'm so grateful. We do have a choice. You can either have the incredible or the regrettable. And that's true. You'll go in grace and it's incredible. Sure, it's like, I will give this analogy, like a roller coaster. Oh, it's great. We're moving along and then it just drops down. Ah! Oh, and then we're going back up. Oh, that's great. But, and it's chugging along. And then you know, as it starts to end the chug, oh no. Ah! Grace! You better strap up in grace because it's coming. That's life. The incredible grace to trust God. That's what grace does. Grace trusts God. Grace trusts grace, but grace trusts God. It's just amazing. That's why it's grace for grace and more grace. And that's why He said, I commend you to the word of His grace. Paul spoke about his unwilling flesh. He was frustrated. The good that I would, I do not, but the evil that I would not, that I do. But grace. Paul, you have put off the old man. Paul, you have put on the new man. Paul, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. I believe that settles it. Amen? Amen. Now, grace gives us this word, and he gives us this word in wisdom. And us Christians can be awfully foolish, and we know that. But grace can stop the foolishness. Nothing more powerful than grace that can change a heart. It is wonderful. I always remember my dad, and he was very true and realistic about natural man. Natural man can't change. And he's right. You can try, but you can't. He said, I've seen very few people that can change. Grace can change you. And I know grace has changed me. And I know grace is changing me. Now, grace can stop your stupidity. Grace breaks up the pride. Grace stops you in your tracks. Grace will come into your home and have you to stop embracing dysfunction. Grace stops the insanity. And it does. Grace will cause you to stand against temptation. Grace will cause you to stand against temptation. Grace will overcome the temptation. I was thankful on Friday night. Grace is doing something so wondrous in my life. I'm talking about things that have been there, somewhat feeling like a rain shower of don't let sin rain on your life. Sometimes for years. Sometimes it doesn't seem like it ever goes away. And I know grace has caused my heart, Lord, I don't want that. Lord, I don't want to have that spiritual sickness. I don't like being spiritually sick. I'm beginning to not care what the body feels like. I care what my soul feels like. And I thank the Lord that something that had been there for quite some time that really did smell. But as I said on Friday night, we just opened up our cabin. And there was something that smelled a little funky down there. Got a little closer to it. Yep, something's dead. But we still went to try to find it because we wanted it out and that type of thing. I've been in places, though, where I smelt something so bad, so putrid, that I went the other way. Grace can do that with things in your life. Really call out to him right now. Lord, make that so putrid that I don't just unlike the smell. But Lord, in your grace, you make it so putrid I get away from it. Now, grace does that because grace was tempted in all things, in all manners. Because grace is touched with the feeling of our infirmity. And grace knows what grace is dealing with you. Isn't that wonderful? Grace knows you. But will you trust in grace? It's all powerful. It's all sufficient. There isn't anything else of any power in your life but the grace of God. Grace empowers you to endure. Amen? Ask sister here, grace empowers to endure through suffering, through pain. Grace empowers through disappointment because grace gives you a vision. Gives you a vision to see glory. Without a vision, you're going to perish. That's why you can start out, and so many do. They start to hear this marvelous message of bridal truth, and they run, and they run well, and they get excited, and they come and sing, and all of these things. And I want them to. But without the vision of what grace has to perform for the glory, if you'll suffer together with him, without that vision, without that knowledge, you're going to perish. You're going to come and go. But he can make it stick. Yes, he can. All by the grace of God. See, that grace is sticky. It sticks with you. And that's the truth. See, grace sees the finished work of the Word's power. The Word's power. Not my strength. Grace sees the Word's power. It sees the mighty hand of God through events that are humbling my life. Grace bringing me glory, not to destroy me. Grace, praise God, gives me strength through the fire. That, Lord, I don't want to just get out here with the skin of my teeth. Grace lets me have a vision in the trial. Oh, yes, it ain't joyous for the moment. But I ain't looking at the moment. Because grace gives me a vision to look through the moment. And grace gives me that kind of power. Holy Ghost power. That power, praise God, that sees rejoicing and praising and thanking God that he's making me strong. Grace faces adversity. Grace, by the grace of God, will cause you to be like a Job. He'll throw you out there with trials, but then he'll bring your familiar friends and say, what did you do? He'll even bring a loving wife and say, man, this is so bad, curse God and die. Grace is there when there is no encouragement. Grace is there when there is no one standing with you. And grace is the one that lifts my hands and praises the Lord and says, thank you, God, you never leave me nor forsake me. Amen. Now, so as we conclude, let's trust in grace. The grace. And I sure love my brothers and sisters of the New and the Old Testament. But grace like Noah. That grace that spoke to Noah. That grace that Noah received. Noah, I'm going to make it rain. Now Noah, I know you never seen rain. Matter of fact, Noah, I don't even think you know what rain is. Matter of fact, I know you don't because you haven't seen it. But I'm going to flood the earth with this rain. And by the way, Noah, in this desert, a literal desert where you're at, I'm giving you plans right now, Noah, to build a ship. And you're going to build that ship for over 100 years in the middle of a desert. You've never seen rain. You don't know what rain is. But yet you're going to take my grace and you're going to build that ship. And you're going to expect that rain. And you're going to praise me for my deliverance. And ones are going to come by and they're going to mock you. And they're going to insult you. And they're going to insult your family. And they're going to go after your kids. And you're going to be an outcast. But my grace will sustain you. I want to have the grace, praise God. And I appreciate Brother Hill, as he would always say, that puts my confidence in God. That truly learns to ask my Father. The grace that expects the oil and the meal in that cupboard every day. The grace, praise God, that Abraham took to not doubt and to believe that his 100-year-old wife was going to have a baby son. The grace for us, brothers and sisters, to believe. that in a little while, he that shall come will come. Did you hear that? That's yours. I've heard so many people say, well, you know, I wish the Lord would have spoke to me like a Noah and told me to build a ship. I wish that, you know, the Lord would have told me like Abraham, get out of that idol shop and just start walking. I'm going to make you a father of many nations. I wish I would hear the Lord and see him appear as a burning bush to me and tell me that, you know, like Moses, I'm going to deliver or use you to deliver Israel out of Egypt. No, he's given you something greater. He said to you personally, he that shall come will come. What do you think? Amen? Amen? So all I can say is this, brothers and sisters, the temporal sufferings are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. The light affliction, which is but for a moment. A moment is, there's no comparison to the far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So as Brother Paul said, oh, thanks be to God for the unspeakable, indescribable gift. Brothers and sisters, we got all grace. Praise God. Father, we praise your Son, full of grace and truth. Thank you, Lord, for your mighty love that has us to be still for this time, to receive the riches of eternity, that would awaken our hearts, that let's no longer be entangled with the affairs of this life. There's nothing that can compare. That, Lord, everything is the after effect of Christ in me, the hope of glory. Everything flows from you, the head. Lord, there is no goodness but of you. There is no peace but of you. And there is no rest without going on in the word of your grace. Thank you, Father. Increase our faith. Increase our apprehending of the marvelous grace and mercy of our Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.